All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on your TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. All in studio on a Monday here in Toronto. And what a day we have set up. What a day we have set up. Coming off a pretty fun weekend.
Great weekend.
Great weekend.
Are you going to gloat or not?
About the picks? Well, we only made one pick. It was a correct pick. He and Al's brother picked. It was an incorrect pick.
Yeah, under protest probably because of what the referees were doing and the nonsense.
You know what sucks is that it was a great game. Mahomes did something that I don't think any other QB in the game could do.
I will say this, regardless of who you cheer for, to not enjoy that guy and appreciate that guy and respect that guy, it's insane. He's unreal.
It's crazy. And it's too bad that the officiating has to come up. And I understand why it comes up, because it did feel like every call was going against Cincinnati.
Was it insane?
It felt that way.
The Photoshop pic of Mahomes swapping jerseys with the ref. I mean, that is hilarious.
I felt, even on the outside looking in, watching, I'm like, okay, they're going to get another opportunity on third down here. Like, it was just like they were, it seemed like the fix was in, but it wasn't. Those were legit calls, but it just, it got a little thin. And then the penalty at the end, like that was.
That's legit. A penalty, man. All day, that's a penalty.
It was a penalty. The guy sitting on the bench crying and all of that, like he knew. He knew.
And I give him a lot of credit because he stepped up afterwards. He sat there with the scrum. Yeah. He did the media. You knew the gratuitous question was coming. What were you thinking when you buried that guy out of bounds for 15 yards and you ultimately led to the loss? And like I do find that intriguing as well, is the reaction to such a bad penalty and such a bad play, where people in Cincinnati were trying to say, that's not why we lost. And it's not exactly why you lost, but played a major role. A major role. Like, there's nothing wrong with just admitting that fact.
That's a 15-yard penalty and a kick to field goal to win the game.
It puts them in field goal range.
Yes.
That's what it did.
Yes. Without that penalty, they have to run another play. They have to move the sticks, likely another 10 yards, 12 yards, maybe 15.
Right.
Bad weather. It was... In the moment, why they lost the game. Yes, there are other reasons. Yeah. Burrow and the Bengals had the ball multiple times, tied in the fourth quarter, couldn't go down the field and score. Mahomes had a great game considering what he had to deal with. Yeah. But in the moment, like if you want to find one acute play, that's kind of the play as to why Kansas City won.
I hope the guy rebounds. And he goes on, and he's 22 years old, apparently.
Yeah. Young kid, great player.
Hope he rebounds from this. But for people to say, don't talk about it and leave the kid alone, it's just like, you have to.
You have to own it.
It was the biggest play of the game. You have to talk about it.
Yeah.
And how ridiculous that penalty was. You just can't take that penalty.
You can't
right
do
there.
It. No. You cannot do it. He was so clearly out of bounds.
Yeah.
So clearly out of bounds.
And of course, me just fishing on the group text going, how's it been going? And there was some language on there that.
Yeah, the reaction was not positive.
there was some language on there.
Who won that game? Not us. What about the other one? Not us. Please stop asking.
I stayed out of that one.
You were silent. I was silent. Hey guys, how's it going? Who's on the Chiefs? Like, who's not us. Go away with some language,
some choice words.
To it. Yeah. And I'm like, fair enough.
Not happy,
but
not happy. And listen, we got a great Super Bowl. You knew any combination was going to be a great Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But Eagles, Chiefs, Hurts versus Mahomes. Andy Reid versus his former team. Yeah. I mean, the storylines are plentiful. There's going to be a lot between now and two Sundays from now. So there's a lot. There's a lot on that front. Mike Golic will join us in about a half an hour. We're going to catch up with Mike Golic, get his take on his thoughts on the early game. Eagles rolling over the Niners, where once Brock Purdy was done, it was done.
Yeah.
And Golic's a former Eagle. Get his take on the Eagles and Jalen Hurts and what they've done. And even the officiating and obviously the greatness of Mahomes last night. So Mike Golic in about 25 minutes. But John Tavares can call
Captain
in here in a moment.
1,000.
1,000 games. I thought the ceremony was exactly what it should have been, a classy ceremony.
Yeah.
You know, he's had a great career. You step into the league that young. Like, to hit 1,000 games at 32, that's tough to do.
Well, he's put the work in. Like, he he's a workmanlike guy. I loved it because you could tell he almost let himself get a little emotional. And then it, like 5 seconds after the ceremony, he's like, I got to play a game and I'm going to dig in here. Mm-hmm.
Ceremonies are tough. Like you guys have talked about it. As pro athletes, you're waiting for puck drop. Yeah. I would think it's even more, not difficult, but it's definitely more unique when you're the center of attention.
His wife and kids are on the ice.
Like right.
It's his family. I thought I read he had up to 60 family and friends in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine getting to puck drop? Because there was so much noise leading up to it. Positive noise, amazing. Hey, but you got to make sure tickets are taken care of for family and friends. Like, I thought there would be a lot of distraction for him.
You got to ask him if there was one family member that just, he looked at his phone after the game and it was an uncle or something saying, hey, where do I park? That would have probably happened with me. Somebody would have sent me a note knowing that I'm playing the game. Hey, where do we park around here?
Yeah.
I'm not answering. I'm in the dressing room, and I have no idea.
He's in team meetings, and an uncle's calling, yeah. Going, we're at the ramp here. We're
15
saying we're with
straight
John.
Times.
Yeah,
15. Where do we get off on the Gardner?
Yeah.
Should we take the Gardner? Would you suggest front or the Lakeshore? All right, let's bring him in here. The captain of the Maple Leafs. He played his 1,000th game last night. Here is John Tavares. John, did you have any family members calling you before the game asking for directions, where they park, where they're sitting? What was that experience like?
You know, I was lucky. My wife took care of all the logistics. So I locked my phone away probably for a couple days before.
Do you think he would have gotten a message saying, where do we park? Do you think?
Yeah.
It's bound to happen.
She was concerned about the parking. So that's kind of funny you brought that up. But you know, it was a phenomenal day, really special overall, and obviously get the 2 points, play well, and enjoy it with the family and you know, the team and the organization. It was phenomenal. So, you know, bit of a whirlwind, but all in all, a great day and very memorable.
It was amazing from the outside watching it, John. But leading up to it, was it tough for you to stay? I mean, I don't know if tough's the right word, but was it a little bit more difficult to stay focused on a game day where you had a lot of moving parts? You knew the ceremony was going to be about you. You're not a guy who likes the limelight. You just like to play hockey and do a good job of it. So was it a little bit difficult for that being all about you last night?
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't, you know, I don't know if tough's the right word because it's obviously a special
right.
moment and great to share it with family. But, you know, it just takes you out of kind of the normal routine and everything you kind of go through, and obviously just what you do to kind of get ready for the intensity of what an NHL game is all about, and you know, holding your kids on the ice and there with your family, you know, emotional moment, and right away you're into a puck drop, and you know, Ovi barreling down on you. So yeah, it was a little different, so just tried to kind of keep things in front of me early and try to get the legs moving. You know, you had a lot of thoughts and emotions throughout the day, too. You know, so, you know, you just have a lot of adrenaline going and whatnot. So it was a little different, but overall, like I said, it was a great day and got things going. And after, you know, maybe not our best first period, but you know, we just kind of stuck with it, and things got really rolling for us in you know, the last 2/3 of the game, and guys played great, good team effort, and you know, I felt better as the game went on. So, you know, it was nice for me, just kind of a 5 o'clock start, which was kind of rare, just to have the time throughout the day with the family, but also even afterwards, just to take it in and see a lot of people and thank them and to do all that. So it couldn't have worked out better.
How would you compare the anticipation of last night, the build-up towards it? It's such a big moment, 1,000 games. How would you compare that to the first NHL game you played?
Yeah, it was actually, I feel like it was similar. I was kind of thinking about that. And, I you know, kind of the butterflies and a lot of the, you know, the emotions are a little different because, you know, obviously it's a lot of memories and looking back and whatnot. I mean, there's a little bit of that with your first game because of just the journey you took, but there's just so much excitement to experience what that's like and getting the first one, where this is, you know, now having, you know, a young family and sharing it with them and having them on the ice. There's you know, some of those differences and whatnot, but it definitely is a little similar with just kind of the adrenaline and the anticipation and obviously just kind of all eyes on you, you know, for that game or throughout that day. So I definitely agree that there's some similarity there.
How much does it mean to you that you guys were dominant over the Caps and got the response in a bounce back game? I mean, to have that 1,000 game, the fact that you guys played well just makes it that much better, isn't it?
Yeah, it was for sure. I mean, you want to get a win, obviously, just because that's, you know, really it's what it's all about and what's most important and where our team's at and what we're trying to do. But you know, I'm seeing a game that's you know individually, you know, significant for myself. That just makes it that much more memorable. And you know, I felt probably even a little extra nervous, I think, just because coming off of a disappointing night on Friday and the response that we needed. And you know, I had all this other stuff kind of going on, and just knowing the importance of the night. So you know, it was, I think, great just the way everyone responded, the way we played, and getting the big 2 points and building some good momentum after you know, we started off the week pretty well. Had a tough one on Friday against a divisional rival, and respond against a good you know, veteran Caps team that has been coming along over the last few weeks. So yeah, it was a really good 2 points.
Chatting with John Tavares, playing in his 1,000th game last night. Leafs back in action Wednesday against Boston, and it's pretty amazing. You're 4.5 years into this Leaf tenure. I remember, I think most Leaf fans would remember it like it was yesterday when you signed here, and the reaction to that signing and you coming up here. You know, as a Toronto guy, as anyone that grows up playing hockey, living in the Toronto area, that's a Leaf fan, you dream of being a Leaf. Very few guys get to do that. You have done it. You've been doing it for 4.5 years. As you reflect back on your time with the Leafs, was it everything you imagined it would be? I'm sure you were dreaming of it for a long time, even when you were with the Islanders at times. Maybe you thought about it from here, from time to time, what it might mean, what it might feel like. Now that you're 4.5 years in, what's it like being a Leaf?
Yeah, I think it's hard to believe it's been 4.5 years. Not just everything that's gone on in my time as a Leaf, but I think in the world and myself with my family and just all that's gone on, it's been incredible. I would say that it's been better than I even imagined, and obviously we haven't got to our goal with what we're trying to accomplish, so it's been remarkable playing here. It's been a phenomenal experience, and it's been great to be able to obviously share with so many friends and family, and you know, obviously the opportunity to be the captain and how honored and how much I don't take that for granted of obviously such a storied franchise with so much history and tradition and the players and that have come through here. It's remarkable. So it's so much fun getting up every day, going to the rink, playing the game, you know, as it's always has been for me, but certainly it's been great, my time here, and it's amazing how fast it's going. So, like I said, just trying to make the most of each and every opportunity we have, because we got, you know, some obviously tremendous players and some great teams since I've been here. So just continue to work at it to find our way through.
You mentioned you had some reflection, so you can't remember every play, every game that you played, but is there a game or two, or maybe a moment or two along the way where you kind of thought about yesterday, whether it was the first time you faced player X or a certain team or had a great game or something that stood out along the way that you'll always remember?
Yeah, there's definitely a bunch. You know, first game, first goal was pretty cool, and that was you know, I remember being introduced to NASA Coliseum and the crowd kind of going nuts after being, you know, picked first overall and the expectation and whatnot. And it was a tremendous atmosphere, and we're playing against Pittsburgh and first time playing against Sid, and they just come off winning their first cup. And it was, you know, a little starstruck at times, but, you know, had a pretty good first game and was an amazing way to kind of, you know, enter the league. You know, I'll never forget, you know, my, you know, the game I played in the playoffs with the Islanders when we, you know, clinched our first round series win, which ended a long drought for the franchise, which was really exciting, and got the tying goal and winning goal. And you know, just how hard that was to do. And making the plays necessary and being able to get a series, clincher in overtime. There's nothing quite like that. You know, as a kid, those are the types of things you play out on your driveway or in your basement and you dream about. So, you know, that was a great moment. I'll never forget, being introduced, as the captain of the Leafs. I remember there's so much anticipation about it. And I knew for a couple of days and just kind of had to keep it really quiet, which was really hard. And knowing that I knew and a lot of, obviously the fan base waiting to know, but, just an incredible moment, was phenomenal. I'll never forget too, the reaction I got, at Scotiabank Arena after my first game in Long Island and coming home and the standing ovation I got and kind of, the way they did the introductions that night, and introduced me last, and the teammates gave the ice to myself and got a tremendous ovation. That was really special. I'll never forget that. It was incredible. So, a lot of great moments, a lot of great games, and obviously playing against the best players in the world. Just phenomenal to be able to do that each and every night. A lot of great memories from that too, in those competitive battles and playing against some great players. And, you know, sometimes they go in your way and you being on the right side of those. And obviously some of them, you're obviously disappointed, but at times you have to tip your cap to, some of those. And obviously that's what the game's all about. It's a lot of fun to play against the best.
You mentioned the OT winner. Was that wraparound on Luongo?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, I just, as you mentioned it, it was like a rebound. It was a pretty tough play for you to get to the far post.
Yeah, I remember just, it felt like a blur at the time. It just kind of all, things kind of really slowed down. And then, he challenged so hard. And the puck came right back to me. It's one of those, it just worked out where the rebound kind of kicked right back out to me. And he challenged so hard that I knew I had a lot of time, and he was really, really committed from challenging that. I was just trying to keep things under control and steady, and was lucky enough to do it. And was a great series, and obviously a nice one to get.
With John Tavares, captain of the Leafs. The Leafs back in action on Wednesday night against Boston. With Austin out, the big focus, I think, in terms of the fan base, in terms of the media, is constantly talking about yourself, Austin, Marner, Nylander, and how you guys kind of go back and forth. And throughout your tenure here, you've played a bunch of games with Marner on your wing, a bunch of games with Nylander on your wing. Is there a difference in terms of the way you approach, playing with either guy? How does that work from your standpoint when you find out you're either playing with Mitch or playing with Willie?
Yeah, no, I think that there's a little bit of, mindset-wise, just, what their strengths are and how I can play off of them really well, because obviously two elite players that, play the game a little differently. Obviously, the way they attack and approach it, and, obviously for me to play off of them, that they're obviously so puck dominant, so good with the puck. I know I believe in my ability to be able to adapt my game to do what I need to do to be effective with them, and obviously make the plays when they're there for me to make. But just knowing how good they are, and you want to get the puck into their hands, and then how I kind of play off that. So, I've obviously had some great stretches with both of them. My first year, obviously played the whole year pretty much with Mitch, and we just clicked instantly. And then with Willie, we've kind of, I think, really built a great relationship and chemistry just kind of over time, and learning more and more about each other. And his game has obviously continued to kind of taken off, and the confidence and his ability to just do so many different things. He's just so much fun to watch and obviously to play with. So it's definitely a little bit of a different approach I take. I don't want to change a whole lot, but I think you want to recognize the areas that they're strong at and what they do well, and how I can play off that.
John, it's kind of looking like you're on a collision course to play Tampa in the first round. It's kind of weird and not very much excitement for the fans tracking who's playing who. Do you guys ever talk about that, or is it just take care of your own business and whoever we get come playoff time?
Yeah, I think at this point, even though we're getting to the final third here relatively quickly, we still got a lot of hockey left here, and we got to take care of our business and do what we got to do to keep building our game, get results, and obviously put ourselves in the best spot possible. I think it's no secret, and something that we're trying to be excited about is how difficult the path is, whoever it is, and obviously first of all, or you know, earning your spot there, which first and foremost you want to take care of. But you know, obviously seeing just how strong the East was last year, how it is this year, how strong our division is, especially you know the three teams that are, you know, us, Boston, Tampa, that have been you know, kind of there for majority part of the season. You know, just knowing the challenges that they bring and you know, how good those teams have been for, obviously, you know, a decade, really. And just continuing to push our game forward for whatever challenge we get, we're ready for. And it's obviously, those are two great teams with obviously plenty others that are, you know, pushing from behind and obviously in the Metro as well, just another really deep division as the East has been really strong over the last few years.
You guys have overcome a lot of injuries this year and really have not lost a beat. You're on pace for about the same amount of points you had last year, which was a franchise record, but again, way more injuries and to really prominent everyday guys. What might that tell you about the process, about the system, and about the team's kind of ability to overcome adversity at times?
Yes, I do think that's been a real strong point of the team this year, with, you know, the challenges of injuries, especially what we had in net and in the back end early in the season, and just how we kind of really came together and just the strength of, as a unit, whoever's on the ice, and obviously the team overall, just how difficult we need to be to play against. Obviously, we have a lot of skill, a lot of talent, guys that can make plays and be dynamic, but just how difficult we need to be to play against, you know, whether that's with the puck or without the puck, you know, that's really going to be a foundation piece for us to obviously earn a place in the playoffs. And then obviously you want that to be the foundation of your game in a 7-game series where you find yourself on the right side of it. And just it's just too hard to beat because of that foundation and how difficult you are to play against the you know, over a grind, 2-week grind of what playoff hockey is all about.
Well, John, you've got 779 games left to catch Patrick Marleau. So I don't know if you have your eyes set on that, but
yeah, Patty sent me a text today. So I thought about that. I go, wow, it's incredible. He says another 780, so that's remarkable, obviously, what he did. I do think I got a lot left in the tank. I don't know about that. I think just continue to go one at a time, but I definitely believe I got a lot of good hockey left in me and excited about what's ahead.
Well, congrats on the first 1,000. We're looking forward to seeing the rest. Good luck Wednesday night the rest of the way, and we really appreciate you finding time for us today. Thank you for this.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There he is, John Tavares. Captain of the Maple Leafs, 1,000 games.
And very focused. Was talking right through a cough and everything.
Yes. What happened there? Throw the mic
sneezed.
On.
I sneezed as soon as I asked the question, and I couldn't stop it. So
he didn't pause, though. I thought there would be a pause, but
he's done a lot of interviews. I mean, I think
JP, did you dump that?
No. Dump it. We call him to clip it immediately.
Yeah, we isolated that, and it's going to be blasted out on social media. Should we break down the tape? You want to break down the tape? It's going to happen. I mean, if it happened to you, Noodles, if it happened to me, we know that it would come up. Let's listen to a professional who's been doing interviews for probably since he got to the OHL. Right. He's been doing radio interviews.
Yeah.
Like gritty little radio stations in Oshawa. And he's hit 1,000 games, and he battled through this.
Individually, you know, significant for myself, but
it actually wasn't too loud. No, it felt louder.
It was loud to us.
It felt loud, yes. But that's not too bad.
The one thing I will comment on that guy, and I experienced a little bit of it growing up, that guy's been under the microscope since he's been 13 years old.
Yeah.
Maybe 12, where it's like people are going to buildings to watch you at that age. It's like he's had to have been on every time he's put a... It's not like someone else just playing hockey and it's like, oh, I got good.
Mm-hmm.
No, people going to buildings to watch you at 13, it's...
But think about, too, in this market, even though it's massive, how many people are here in surrounding our area? 5 million?
Like, yeah, it's probably 7-8 million in Southern Ontario.
Yeah, okay, so for some reason, everybody's got a JT story. Like, oh, I know the uncle, I know the brother, he was at my grocery store, like it's... I can't imagine his life, like, coming home to Toronto. He's probably had to set some boundaries. Like, we were joking around about it, but I guarantee you he's had to be like, okay, you know, close friends, close relatives, like, you want tickets, call by this time. I'm not answering my phone.
Absolutely.
He's probably had to deal with that. That's probably been one of the biggest transitions in him coming home. The difference between him going down to New York, or people flying down to New York and see him, this is his backyard.
I got to be honest, popular. It never happened to me once. Like, people just knew, like, you just don't ask. Like, they're not falling off trees.
This guy's a captain of the Maple Leafs. So you think you can, hey, can you get me Austin's signature? Can you, you know, like, it's not even him, and he's a star. It's what about Mitch, you know? And Mitch is a local kid, too. Keep in mind, the two stars are local guys.
Yeah, well, exactly. And on top of all the media obligations and the constant focus, and, like, he has handled coming to the Maple Leafs and being the quote-unquote chosen one that finally came home.
Right.
Something we talked about forever. Which Toronto kid's going to come home?
Yeah.
And he did it. And then he becomes a captain, and he plays every night. You know exactly what you're getting out of him.
Yeah.
He handles the daily duties as well as anybody. And he's a consummate pro. And I think that training from when he was 12, 13, 14 is what paid off here.
Right.
Right? Because when he's been under the spotlight for 20 years. He's 32. He's been under the spotlight for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, I remember hearing about him when he was playing with the Marlies.
Yep.
I remember hearing about McDavid. Did. Everyone heard it. So you got to see this Tavares kid. He's coming.
Right.
You got to hear this McDavid kid. He's coming. Like, it's the same thing. It started with Eric
Lindros
was the first one. Yeah. He's coming to Toronto. Well, actually, the first one was probably Gretzky.
Yeah.
When he came into Toronto when he was 12. It was like, there's this kid coming from Brantford. You got to go see him.
Yeah.
And then it was Lindros. And then, and he was in the same line.
This kid Bedard. You see the movie he had last night?
Exactly. Like, and I'm sure in Vancouver, it was like, you got to see this kid when he was 10, 12. Yeah. You know, that's the nature of a big city and a big market and being a great player.
But you get a buzz and it just follows you. And he's backed it up, though. He's had a great career.
He's played exceptionally well. And, you know, when it comes to the Leafs, like, he just detailed that big moment for the Islanders. That's he needs that big moment in the playoffs.
He does, yeah.
And he's not alone. They all do. But everyone knows that that's what's next. Like, that's the next big step. And they're going there. It's going to be them in Tampa. And we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see if they can get her done.
Yeah. So thanks again to John Tavares for joining us. Mike Golic will join us on the Eagles' role in the Niners, his take on the officiating over the weekend, what we can expect out of the Super Bowl. We've got Ryan Callahan coming up. We got Max Homa on the show.
Nice.
Max Homa at 6:30. Max Homa's he's a beauty. And he had himself a weekend at Torrey Pines.
Let me ask you this. Is it offside to ask him about the underpants, Cam? Like, would he be aware of Ryder's underpants and what's going on with those?
I don't know if you can apply Ryder directly to it because it's like a competitor. And
you don't want
it. But you can maybe ask him, like, when you were a kid trying to hold on to a lead, young on tour.
This is how I'll phrase it. Do the best players like you and Rom, do you see Ryder in that situation and say, let's go post the number and see what this kid's got?
Exactly.
And without involving the underpants.
Yes. Yeah. I think the underpants can be omitted, but you can dance around that. And we'll get the
answer.
I'm
going to ask one question and then let you guys nerd out. Are you guys going to talk about what driver and all of that?
We'll see.
I don't know how many comments I had last week from people going, well, you too. Brooke Henderson was probably just shaking her head.
Mortified. Mortified. Talking about our putting.
And putters.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Max will probably do that with Homa. We'll see.
The same thing.
That's in a couple of hours. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right. Thanks again to John Tavares. 1,000 games. The Leafs are back in action on Wednesday against Boston. Then they're off for the All-Star break and their bye week. So we won't see the Leafs again until next Friday. In Columbus, so home and home of Columbus.
That's a nice break. What is that like? Is that a 10 spot?
That's a long break, man.
I talked to a guy yesterday. I had 9 full days off.
Yeah.
Because it's league mandated that, like, you can't practice.
Every team gets 5 days
off. Yeah, and the Leafs, remember when they did the old St. Louis trip after Christmas?
Right.
Like, and took the $100,000 fine? League's watching.
They're probably on watch.
The league is on watch. So, like, you're not, you can have a captain's practice, but there's no coaches involved. Like, teams that are getting these breaks, that's the break.
Yep.
Guys are on birds, and they're
gone.
Been
negotiated. Yeah, you're out. Like, after that game on Wednesday, they will be out of here, as they should be. Polar vortex coming later in the week. supposed to get ugly.
Really?
Ugly up here. All right, so the Super Bowl is set. The Eagles against the Chiefs. You can't get any better than that. I mean, any combination over the weekend was going to be great. This one, I think, is about as good as it can get. Here is former NFLer. You hear him on Westwood One. Here is Mike Golic Sr. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to the Super Bowl as well. Should be a good one.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm curious, as a former player and a guy who's been talking about the game forever, a fan of the game, we were discussing this off the top. Does it bother you that the officiating conversation like clouded the weekend? Did it cloud your viewing experience, all the buzz about the officiating and how poorly these games were officiated at times?
Yeah, it at times can feel like it gets in the way. Now, in the San Francisco-Philly game, it didn't matter too much because San Francisco had their own problems getting a quarterback on the field. That was a shame. You get down to the NFC Championship game, and now you're on your fourth quarterback. That made it really difficult, and Philly is so good. So, but in the AFC game, yeah, it's a shame. Now, listen, the roughing the quarterback call at the end, that was a legit call. Mm-hmm. Mahomes was 2 feet out of bounds. And the kid was just overly aggressive. He's going to learn from that mistake. But, yeah, there were definitely some other calls. What we hope for, and you guys as well, it doesn't matter what sport, right? Hockey, basketball, football, baseball. What you want is the officials to be consistent. You know, if you're going to make a crappy call early on, then make that same crappy call later on. You know, at least do it for both teams, you know? So be consistent in what you're doing. And when it feels like one side is getting more than the other, you kind of feel like it's interrupting the game a little bit. We always want the players to decide it on the court, on the ice, on the field. But, I guess you have to say the refs are human, too. They're just like there's no athlete that plays a perfect game. There's no ref that refs a perfect game.
You talked about the kid, Asai, that was over-aggressive. Mahomes took the penalty. How do you deal with that kid? I mean, how do you kind of build that guy back up? Because that was tough on that kid, and he's wearing it, and it's obviously a difficult situation. But it's obviously a situation you can't take that penalty there.
No, you obviously can't. Listen, you know, we all talk about Mahomes and making that run there, but, you know, the run where it was and where he went out of bounds, it would have been a 60-yard field goal. Mm-hmm. So, and they may have tried it for the win, but that game, in all likelihood, would have gone to overtime.
Yes.
So, you know, that penalty obviously hurt them 15 yards. All you can do, and it's true, but because it was led to the game-winning kick, people will point to it and say that cost them the game. You know, there's 4, 5, 6, 10 plays a game that can help determine the outcome. You know, so you while you look at that last one because it was obviously a huge mistake and the kick came right after that, there are other plays in the game, you know, that the Bengals could have made. You know, that could have made a difference in that game. And that's what you tell them. Mistakes happen. Those are tough penalty, though. Those are mental mistakes. You know, it's a very physical game, and sometimes the mental mistakes get you the most. And that was one. He was just running hard for the ball. As you were saying, he was trying to knock Mahomes backwards so the clock would keep running. But he wasn't able to do it, and he hit him out of bounds. So all you can do is build him back up and say, listen, there were other plays in the game, you know, that we could have made, that could have been the difference of this game. But bottom line is this kid's going to live with it for the rest of his career.
We're chatting with Mike Golic. Prior to the game, there was a lot of talk, smack talk, some might argue, out of Cincinnati, calling Arrowhead, Burrowhead, the Cincinnati mayor, you know, taping that video and posting it online. And the Chiefs didn't take the bait until after the game, and multiple players referenced it. Are you a believer in bulletin board material, and if so, do you think it factored in at all to the way that game played out?
No, I'm not a believer in that. And that is something that is brought up at the end because the game's over. You have your bulletin board material, your smack talk. Once the ball is kicked off, all that stuff's out the window. It's not like Travis Kelce is sitting there on this play and say, I'm going to show the mayor on this play when I catch this, you know, 15-yard, you know, in route. You know, I mean, that's not going through his mind. But at the end of the game, you know, you can then pull that back out and say, okay, now I can clap back on this. But no, I am not a big believer that stuff matters. Once the ball is kicked off, I think you play the game. And then if you're able to win the game and able to talk a little smack after that game, then go ahead. I'm just not a believer in it. I don't know why you want to do it. I don't know why the mayor would want to do that, because this can happen to you, can come back on you like that. But as far as an effect on the game, no, I do not think it has an effect on the game.
What type of reaction do you think Andy Reid's going to get from the Philly faithful?
I'm not going to lie. You know, I played most of my career in Philly. In 9 years, I played six in Philly. And Buddy Ryan was my coach. And he was beloved there, Buddy Ryan. And I get it. You know, he's a likable coach because we played aggressively. We were a hard-hitting team. And we lost in the first round of the playoffs every time we got to the playoffs. But they loved Buddy. And Andy got to how many NFC championship games and one Super Bowl, and it's like they couldn't wait to get him out the door. I never understand that. You know, he takes you to the Final Four and to the Super Bowl one time in Philly and to the Final Four a bunch of other times, and you can't wait to get rid of the guy. It blows my mind. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach. I think he's a great guy as well. He'll have nothing but love for that city and that organization. Because he was there a long time. He'll treat it like that. It'll be interesting. Well, Philly fans, I think we know how they act. I lived with it a bunch of years. They can be pretty rough, and then they'll continue to be.
We're chatting with Mike Golic. How do you respond, Mike? I'm sure you've heard a lot of pundits out there, a lot of fans, saying that the Eagles were gift-wrapped a spot in the Super Bowl because they had to beat the Giants, who weren't that good. And then they play the Niners, who are on basically their fifth-string quarterback by the third quarter.
You got to get there somehow, man. Your path's your path.
Yeah, well, I'm curious, Mike. Like, is there any legitimacy in that, or do the Eagles even have to address it? I wouldn't expect they would publicly, but how do you respond to that?
So if anybody brought that up to me at that point, I would make sure I clear my voice very, very much so everybody could hear me, and I would yell at the top of my lungs, "Don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care. I'm in the Super Bowl. I played the teams. We played the teams we were supposed to play. Injuries happen all the time. That's the way it goes. I don't feel it's tainted. I don't feel that we got gifted that. You know, if I were with them, I would say we beat and did what we had to do to get to the Super Bowl. It's not like this was a 6-11 team who snuck into the playoffs and got their way to the Super Bowl. This was basically one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFL the entire year. So everybody can miss me with that one and come meet me in Arizona and watch me play in the Super Bowl.
Mike, are you surprised at all it's working for Philly's coach? He's kind of got these, like, awkward sayings, and he was talking about flowers early on in his tenure. And usually some guys would be like, that doesn't fly around here, but it has. So does that surprise you at all?
Well, what happens is it flies because you win, right? I mean, if the coach is trying to sell some, listen, I think he regretted it as soon as he put Jalen Hurts and Michael Jordan in the same breath. He really didn't want to, and yet he still did, and I don't know how he feels about that. But the bottom line is you're winning.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you try and sell to the team, we know how this works. If you're winning, then you're buying it. If you're losing, then it's like you better try a different avenue because this isn't working. So while some of it may, you know, raise an eyebrow occasionally, the bottom line is there's 32 teams in the league, you know, and 30 other teams would love to be, you know, where either Cincinnati or Kansas City or Philadelphia is. So they got the last laugh. That's all that matters.
Yeah, and now we got 2 weeks to build this up, and obviously there's a ton of storylines, but generally it's going to come back to the quarterbacks. And Mahomes, if we assume he's going to be healthy, and we assume Hurts is going to get more healthy. I mean, both of them were banged up. Hurts doesn't look like he can throw the ball the way he could 2 months ago, and we know that Mahomes was limping around. Let's assume they gain 10%, 15% of health. What kind of game are you expecting? How different might we see the game plans from yesterday, you know, and leading up to what we're going to see in 2 weeks?
Well, I still think the other thing you have to realize, too, is three receivers for Kansas City got hurt in that
right.
game. And hopefully they'll be back as well, because one of the biggest differences in the game is going to be the fact that Cincinnati didn't put a ton of pressure on Pat Mahomes. Cincinnati had like 30 sacks in the regular season and didn't get a ton of pressure. Philadelphia had 70 sacks in the regular season, four players with 11 sacks or more. They can get you from inside and outside. So to me, that's going to be the biggest thing in this game is the pass rush by Philadelphia, because they can do it with four. When you can do it consistently with four, that means you got seven back. You're in pretty good shape. Between that and Philadelphia's offensive line is probably the best in the league. So that's what Kansas City has to defend against. Is Kansas City, now they were second in the regular season in sacks with 55. And Chris Jones is an absolute monster on that defensive line for Kansas City. So both teams can put pressure on the quarterback and get the quarterbacks moving, which would probably favor Jalen Hurts because his is a shoulder injury. His legs are fine and he can run. Mahomes probably, now he does have 2 weeks, and we'll see how severe this high ankle sprain was of how he'll be able to run around and move back there. But like in most games, when we're going to talk about the quarterbacks and the you know, specialty position, it really comes down to the O-line and D-line of who dominates the game.
Well, we got 2 weeks before we see how that plays out. It'll be a fun 2 weeks in the build-up. Congrats on your Eagles getting back to the dance. He is Mike Golic of Westwood One and longtime NFLer. Thank you for doing this, Mike. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
There he is, Mike Golic, Sr. And, that's what, like, the inside the NFL guys are like, look at the line, right, at the line of scrimmage. The Eagles are dominant on that front. The Chiefs, I thought, did a really good job on that yesterday. But Mahomes, Hurts, Andy Reid, you got a bunch of star players. The Kelce brothers are going to be there. They're going to be loud. It's going to be great.
The brothers playing against each other is...
That's
like
cool.
They have a podcast together. And now it's going to be like, I don't want to talk to you for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I was wondering about that today. Yeah. Like, I don't know the scheduling on that podcast. We should look it up. Like, I believe they do it weekly,
week?
But yeah. Will they do it this week and next week? Like, let's say they record on Fridays. Will they record the Friday before
Do it next week, the week before the Super Bowl, your teammates, are they going to look at you saying, hey, like, are you ready for the game? You're doing the podcast with your brother. He's on it.
You might have to put that out and say, hey, we're going to take a 2 week hiatus until this is over. And we'll both come on and do
I'll see you after the game.
See you after the game.
The crazy thing is, this is when you want to hear from them. Like, as much as the podcast, I believe, is very successful, and those two are the two of the best players in the league, I think both future Hall of Famers. But this is, you got to hear from them now.
This would be like the Manning brothers playing.
So they have to weigh everything, like the teammates, the Super Bowl, or the legitimacy of our podcast. Like, what are you going to pick?
Yeah, it's almost insane that we're asking that question.
The PR people will be like, you guys can, both of them, cannot do that.
I don't think that PR, they have no control over it.
I understand.
The coaches, maybe. PR is not going to Travis Kelce.
If I was the coach, I'd be sniffing around. I'd be like, when are you going to do the last podcast? Because I want to know. Your teammates want to know.
The PR is an extension of the organization.
No,
the president of the team will go to the PR guy and go, make sure they are not doing
it. Well, doesn't the player have, like, doesn't one of the Kelce's have, don't they both have the right to say, that's my podcast?
Absolutely. And guess what? They're both playing even if they do the podcast.
I understand.
There's no way Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce aren't playing in the Super Bowl because they record a podcast.
I'm not saying they would be suspended. It's just, to me, it's more about common sense. Both organizations will go, just give us a break. That's the last thing they need is bulletin board material because these
no
two start.
No kidding.
You know what? Well, not sure how Patrick's feeling.
I think they have the attitudes where they're like, we're doing it.
I'll bet you they do at least one more. I'd be shocked if they didn't. They're bigger than life. They know their roles. They know how great they are on their respective teams. I'll bet you they do at least one more.
So that's a Jerry's percentage.
Okay.
Because I don't think they will.
Rod, find out when they post them. Do they do it on
Wednesdays? Wednesdays. They record every Wednesday.
So they might do, what is it, Monday today? They'll do this Wednesday.
I think they'll do this Wednesday.
But then
sure.
I don't
shut
think
it down.
You want to bet 20? I say they don't
I'll
do
bet 20 that they
I
do at least one.
But you can't have inside info.
How would I have inside? I don't have a clue.
I saw a tweet saying we're getting one out there Wednesday.
I swear this just popped up.
You say they do
500.
I think they do one.
I say they don't
for 20.
If
he was in the know, he would have said, no, let's do 50.
Yeah, but then that would be a tell.
Yeah, exactly.
So now am I doing reverse psychology?
I say they don't do one this Wednesday or next. They wait till after.
I'll bet you another 20 they do one next Wednesday. I'll bet you they do two.
They do two before
okay,
the
now
Super Bowl.
You've got my
I'll bet
interest.
You they do two.
Hang on a second. I will bet you 100 no this week and 500 no next
I'm
week.
I'm not boosting the bet up because next week is
okay,
a little 20, bit.
Okay, 20-40. 20 this week, 40 next week.
No, I want to go reverse.
When is
40 this week, 20 next week because I'm not as certain about
Dude,
next
take
week.
It or leave it. 20-40.
When is media day for Super Bowl?
But the thing is, they're gonna
next,
say
yeah,
but if it, this week if they're going to do one next week.
Yeah.
Here's
you would
the
think
thing.
So.
Let's just do 40 for this week.
40 for this 40 week. You're on.
But media day, if they're doing the rounds, you know they're going to be asked. Like they might do a podcast from media
day. I'd be shocked
day.
If they didn't do it. Yeah. And you know what? You know when you really got to hear is after the Super Bowl because one of them won and one of them lost.
Exactly.
That's going to be
spicy
wild.
Spicy meatball.
Ryan Callahan coming up. Max Homa at 6:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Blue Jackets, February 11th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in to name that Leaf. Today's clue, this former Maple Leaf was a first-round pick. This former Maple Leaf was a first-round pick. So there you go. Leafs Blue Jackets. That's a Saturday night.
Pretty broad.
Like, yeah, that's Monday, right? Man. You got to ease into the week, man. Nothing wrong with that.
All right, can I ask you this? Can we just have a meeting one day, me and you, to come up with something different for this?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Rod. Rod stepping in.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, Rod. Absolutely.
Monday, you know, it's always a general.
Yeah,
comment.
That's the way it should be. What are you going to give the guy's initials?
Next week that he'd be like, he shot right.
No, I want somebody
former Maple Leaf
to just be
right.
Have the ability to call in today and say,
why? We're not doing the call in though right now.
It's Friday. Know, but if somebody just like on a whim says it was me, I was a first round pick.
It could be you.
So if somebody called and said it's Jeff O'Neill,
do you know how annoying that would be? How many? Yeah. Matt Sundin, Jeff O'Neill, Wendell
Tyler
Clark. Yeah, it's like, come on, guys. Yeah. Like at some point you got to stop. Right? Yeah. Friday. Tickets giveaway Friday. All right. Ryan Callahan in the next hour. Back into the NFL weekend. Back into Patrick Reed. Cheating in Dubai. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.